Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Hey, well, I'm about that action, boss.
Take him out!
This is the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, baby, been a fun morning. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go before the changeover with Willard and Dibs. You're on a Tuesday. Good morning, everybody out there on YouTube, Twitch, and, of course, the Comcast Business Text Line. Good morning, everybody. They're getting off their graveyard shifts. The truck drivers out there doing the damn thing. Everybody at work, if you're at work, what is up? If you're getting ready for work, good morning to you as well. Spadoni Lubman and you, Joe Shasky III. We just had Brian Baldinger on. We'll play some of those highlights. And today's show has been focused a lot on Kyle Shanahan coming off that loss to the Denver Broncos. A lot of bad decision-making, right? The decision to run whatever the hell they tried to run on the goal line, which resulted into a safety that could have been a pick six that lost Trent Williams. The decision to decline the penalty and allow Denver to kick a 55-yard field goal where points was going to come at a premium. Why not accept the penalty, push the Broncos back, maybe a chance at who knows what happens there. But the Broncos get 3 points there. They end up winning 11-10. Decision-making in critical situations, when to go for it, when not to go for it. It's been the trend under Kyle Shanahan, and the numbers do not look good there. So we'll continue that conversation. Plus, Mike Holmgren at 8:30 coming up on the roast. But your phone calls next, 888-957-9570. What's your biggest takeaway from Brian Baldinger?
Well, it's how they're utilizing Kittle. And you and I did a video last year where I said, you got to target this guy. I mean, I think it was our Xfinity Flex in the middle of the season last year. You got to target this guy 5 times a half. Yeah. I don't think that that is egregious.
No, it's not.
You know, when you have great playmakers, I'll go back in time. When you look at the T.O. 49ers, okay, when T.O. was on the team. And
Rice was gone.
Yeah, Rice was gone. And he was said to Greg Knapp, who was the offensive coordinator that time, I should be getting 15 looks a game. I'm the best player on this team. And I agree with him for a variety of reasons. Number one, you put the ball in the best player's hands because they give you the best chance to win. Number two, you don't have a lot of other playmakers outside of him. And number three, it puts pressure on the other team to guard that guy, tackle that guy, find out where that guy is at all times. When you have Marshall Faulk, for example, you are trying to get Marshall Faulk the ball 20 to 25 times in a variety of ways.
Yep.
Okay. When you have Devontae Adams and you're Aaron Rodgers before he went to the Raiders, you're trying to get that guy the ball a dozen times a game.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey, you watch Kelsey? How many times is he trying to get the ball?
He's getting the ball a lot. A lot of targets.
When Tony Gonzalez was the tight end for Kansas City.
But even when those guys aren't getting targets, they're attracting so much attention that it's opening up the game for, say, Mecole Hardman.
Exactly.
Juju Smith-Schuster, who's number 84 on the Kansas City Chiefs. He's getting targets.
Whether you're being utilized or being used as a decoy, like, you bring value to the field because you're accounting for the team having to guard you.
Right.
And then when the ball's in your hands, you're a stud for a reason.
Right. You make plays happen. You could turn a 10-yard hitch into a 70-yard touchdown. That's how special George Kittle is. He can break tackles and make things happen.
I know everyone says, he's so vital to the run game. I hear you, but there's a reason backup tight ends exist, to maul in the run game.
Right.
These guys that are pass catching tight ends, can that, you know, being an inline blocker be a part of their repertoire?
Right.
Of course. Do you know why Antonio Gates is going to the Hall of Fame?
For catching passes.
Do you know why Kelsey's going to the Hall of Fame?
For catching passes.
Now, the extra stuff is great. It's gravy. I love it. It sets the tone. It's all those things. But I'm paying this guy $12 million, $15 million a year, whatever it is after the bonuses and whatnot, to catch ball down the field and be a dynamic playmaker who teams can't guard. Yeah. And it makes it easier for my quarterback.
Now, I will say it's only one game, and it's his first game back. Let's see how he gets used.
There are stretches over the last few years.
There are. When I look at last season, and I think I went crazy one week. I was like, get George Kittle. You know, I was yelling, screaming at the top of my lungs because I wanted to see him get the ball. But then he had that stretch against Seattle where he goes for 9 for 181. He has a big game against Cincinnati. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He has a big catch in overtime. He has a big catch in the fourth quarter. George Kittle was all over the place. But I look at him in these games, and the targets, those are outliers. Right? Look at the targets. All right. George Kittle against Seattle back on December 5th. 12 targets. The next week against Cincinnati, 15 targets. Then after that, he gets 6 against Atlanta. 3 against Tennessee. 3 against Tennessee in a Christmas Eve game.
Yeah.
2 against the Texans. 7 against the Rams. And then you get in the playoffs. You get to the playoffs. 3 targets against Dallas. 6 targets against Green Bay. 5 targets against the Rams. 5 targets. I need more. I need 10 a game.
I know.
But now, again, they're not throwing the ball like that. So where's Debo at? Where's Ayuk at? Those guys aren't getting targets. Juwan Jennings has probably got more targets than Debo. Without even looking at the stats, Juwan Jennings probably has more targets than Brandon Ayuk so far this season. That's criminal.
Well, and I look at it this way. Like, you don't always, like you're saying, you don't always have to get the ball and the targets. So, like, the year that Randy Moss came to the Niners, 2012, Michael Crabtree had his best year. Vernon Davis also had a monster year that year, and so did Frank Gore. Mm-hmm. So if you say to me, hey, Joe, you know, Randy's only going to catch 38 passes or whatever it was. I think it was 35 passes that year. But all these other guys are going to flourish. I'm like, all right, that works. That works for me, you know? But I'm looking at this offense. Who's flourishing right now on the offense, B?
Nobody.
So if you're not going to target George Kittle and you're going to be impotent on offense, well, now I've got a problem.
So Debo Samuel so far, 21 targets. How many of those have come at the line of scrimmage?
Lots.
Brandon Ayuk actually has 19 targets now, which is surprising to me.
And why does it feel like it's not enough?
Yeah, 10 catches, 142 yards.
It feels like that's more of a byproduct of this offense being so run-based heavy.
Danny Gray, 2 targets. Tyler Kroft, 2 targets. George Kittle, 5 targets. Ray-Ray McCloud, 5 targets. Kyle Juszczyk, 4 targets. And, of course, Juwan Jennings with 11 targets. Maybe that's on the quarterback. Maybe it's on the play calling.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Let's go to Ray in Vallejo. Ray in Vallejo watching us via YouTube. What's up, Ray? How you doing? You're on the roast.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, good for you.
That's all you got?
Come on.
You guys lost to us. No.
Hey, guys, just serious, man. I'm just curious. You guys are in a tough spot. We were in a tough spot. But what would you give up for Cooper Rush?
Okay. Not much. Not much.
Great job letting that call through.
I just don't even know the point. Now you're excited about Cooper Rush, okay? Guru is excited about Cooper Rush.
Is he? That call is dedicated to Guru, by the way.
Okay, that's a good call. So we got a couple things here with Baldy. One, we got the offense looking beige. But here's what Baldy said about George Kittle needing more targets.
We are on fire.
I just don't feel like they call his number and they have plays for George.
Yeah.
Like, what am I looking at, Joe? Like, I just don't see. I see these tight ends in the league.
Thank you, Baldy.
I mean, you know, it
Thank
starts
you,
with Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Like, I see these guys and they're calling plays that everybody can watch. Clear outs, 3-by-1s, flex them, in motion, delay, tight end delays. Like, I see these plays for tight ends around the league. Now, you made him the highest paid tight end for a day in the whole league, and I don't feel like they use him at all.
So when we think about not using him at all, he was on the field, again, for 51 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
51 of the 56 snaps, Kittle was on the field. 38 of those snaps, he was next to a tackle, lined up in line, blocking, or running the routes, right? But think about that. 38 times, you know where he's at, okay? He's right next to the tackle, whether it's the left tackle or the right tackle. One time he lines up in the backfield. 8 times he's in the slot. 4 times he's out wide. Now, on the 33 pass attempts, Kittle ran 27 routes. 6 of the times he stayed in the block. Part of the problem in the Super Bowl, though, we were like, man, Kittle's in a lot to block.
Yeah.
Because the offensive line hasn't gotten better. That's where it goes back to Shanahan, who has power to pick the players, to figure out who he wants. Why isn't the offensive line better? I've been yelling about the offensive line. Part of the reason why Kittle has to stay in the block some of the reason why you get the ball out so damn fast, where everybody salivates over Jimmy Garoppolo and his quick release. Oh, he's getting the ball out so quick where you're not letting plays develop. Part of the problem with the quick release is you're not allowing guys to get downfield and run their routes. But part of the problem why you don't do that is because the offensive line stinks. And you don't upgrade the offensive line. And that's where I go back to Kyle Shanahan saying, you knew going into the season you're starting Trey Lance. Then you sign Jimmy Garoppolo and say, boy, we got Garoppolo as a backup. But you look at the protection up front. And the protection up front is not good. So that all falls on Kyle Shanahan. Targets for Kittle. Play design. Running plays. Decision making. It all falls back on the head coach.
Well, it feels,
and it's a trend of him making bad decisions over the years. Well, it's a trend.
It goes back to the personnel, right? I mean, and they've overrated certain players throughout their time. And it feels like McGlinchey's one of those guys that they've overrated. They underrated Laken Tomlinson's value. I think that's easy to say.
Yep.
They went up and they got Aaron Banks in the second round to be determined. And then at the center position, they tried to overpay for Weston Richburg in free agency. I hated that move the day it happened. It didn't really materialize into anything because he was hurt the entire time. They got Alex Mack for 1 year. And they had no long-term solution. And now you got Jake Brendel in there. And I've asked this since day one. I went and saw him. The first practice we went to, I said to Sam Lubman, and Sam, for 1 second, Sam, what was my first observation on Jake Brendel? The first time I saw him when we looked up at, and we were watching him in the drills.
Well, no, you and me, we both had the same reaction. It was just like, this guy is so much smaller than everyone else on the offensive line.
I was like, oh my God, center's a problem.
So it like, looked like they
just looking on the field.
But doesn't that look bad on the front office in Kyle Shanahan?
Of course.
Alex Mack, we had no idea who was going to retire. You don't draft a center in the draft. You don't go out there and acquire a center. You don't draft a center. Said your solution is, let's let Jake Brendel run it. And then you get a fumble snap in Denver, and you have a
weeks.
Turnover.
Back-to-back weeks. They fumbled on the goal line against Seattle as well.
Back-to-back weeks. So a trend under Kyle Shanahan, if you take away 2019, maybe 20th, 32nd, 30th, 22nd, and so far 19th when it comes to takeaways, giveaways.
Mm.
You're the bottom half of the league. Bottom half of the league when it comes to takeaways and giveaways. That's a trend.
I know.
And it looks like it's going to be going the opposite direction again this season when it comes to interceptions and fumbles. Like it's a trend under Kyle Shanahan. Penalties, points per game. You're in the bottom half of the league under Kyle Shanahan.
Well, I just look at like how they've allocated their resources, right? So money, the money that you pay people, and I get positions are valued differently, but I look at like how much money have they invested into center? How much money have they invested into guard, right and left? How much money have they invested into the running back position? And it feels like it's a constant evolving, a revolving door at all three of those or all four of those positions, doesn't it?
Yep.
And yet the entirety of this offense is based on running the ball and controlling the line of scrimmage. And yet I feel like we've been under, like,
they've been underwhelming on the offensive line and pass protection.
And running back.
Yep, and running back. Let's go to Baldy here on the offense, looking flat without Mike McDaniel.
I mean, I thought they would miss him, and I think they are. It just looks very beige, this offense. You know, I mean, put a color to it. It's just flat. I think Mike McDaniels is a big loss because what Mike does, nobody's really willing to, even if you're willing to put the time in, you don't know really what you're looking at. He just has that skill. And I thought you can replace a running back coach. You can replace a run game coordinator. I mean, they get replaced all the time. But not somebody that is willing to do what Mike did. And so I thought it would show up. And look, you had one explosive run by Wilson. You're on your third running back. We understand that. One explosive run. Otherwise, I mean, they were struggling to get 2 yards a carry. And so it has looked like that for much of the season so far.
There's a lot of changes to the coaching staff this offseason. A lot of coaching changes. And that one is the one everybody's pointing to saying, boy, it'd be nice to have Mike McDaniel here. Dolphins are 3-0. Niners are 1-2. And they look beige on offense, according to Brian Baldinger.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me in terms of the offense and my frustration is how are they going to, like, moving forward, how are they going to open up Debo in the passing game?
With no Trent Williams.
just in general. Like, it feels like they haven't been able to get him the ball down the field.
Nope.
Now, there was one play Jimmy found him.
Last week. It was good. Nice little dig route, right?
It was a really nice play. And he settled down and he got wide open. It just feels like him in the passing game is an afterthought. And I don't know how you open that up.
Is the passing game ever going to evolve under Kyle Shanahan?
Well, I want to see some, trips, bunch formations off to the right or the left.
We don't see 3-by-1.
But the reason why I like that formation is because it automatically gives a free release to somebody, and you're going to get an open route. It's a concept that Andy Reid uses a lot. Three guys, whether it's a tight end and a couple of wide receivers, all kind of together. Sometimes one guy's lined up behind the other, and you can't get your hands on them as a DB.
Well, Jacksonville ran a lot of 3-by-1 formations, and when I mean 3-by-1, trips right, trips left, receiver off to the other side. You got 3-on-1 side. I love that formation. It's a great formation.
But it's just an easy way to...
Yeah, Jacksonville ran it all day long against the Chargers.
Well, the Rams do it, too.
The Rams do it a lot. They do it a lot. Under McVay. It's how Cooper Kupp gets open. You get the pick plays. You get a guy going to the flat. You can do so many things out of the trips formation. They look very bland and predictable. And then when I look at pass attempts per game, now a lot of things is Niners are blowing guys out, right? And they're running the football.
Well, they want to get to 30-plus rushes.
Want to get to 30-plus rushes. That's their goal. They've been in a lot of tight games. And you look at their pass attempts per game. They're at the bottom of the league. Bottom of the league all the time. 29th last year, 16th the year before, 29th in 2019, 20th in 2018. Why do they have to be hell-bent on having 30 rushes per game when you don't have that guy at running
back? That's his philosophy. That's Shanahan's philosophy. And, you know,
is his philosophy outdated?
I always like zigging when everyone's zagging. Like, the whole league is throwing the ball. I truly believe McVay doesn't run it enough. That's my opinion. But I feel like they do overcorrect in terms of their stubbornness in the run game. You can be an aggressive run caller. Like, Harbaugh talked about this when he was the coach. You know, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, spreading it out and then running it, you know, up the gut.
Right.
You can be aggressive with the run game. It feels like, to me, they're very stubborn with the run game. When it's not going anywhere and you got a guy going east and west, and they should be getting north and south.
Let's get to the calls before we get to Mike Holmgren. David Fresno, what's happening? You're on the Morning Roast via the Odyssey app. He's listening via the Odyssey app. What's up, Dave?
Every morning, I'm on that Odyssey app.
Thank you.
Listen to you guys give us raw, you know what I'm saying? So, now I was just going to say, it's just funny listening to everybody, you know, talk about Jimmy and, you know, this is Jimmy. And I've been saying for years, I've been telling my friends, I've been calling this radio station, not necessarily this show, but even after losses, hey, this is Jimmy. And the difference is they're not winning, because before they were winning and this kind of play was acceptable. And he's been this way this whole time. And you guys make great points about Kyle Shanahan, the personnel. I've been saying that as well. Like, you've been drafting running backs in the 3rd round for like every year he's been here, and then nothing to show for it. Mm. Where you could have been investing in the offensive line, the center, like some of these positions that they just be overlooking and missing. And to have the success that they have in this short time, you know, the NFC Championship, the Super Bowl, despite all this personnel miss and not finding a running back and not finding a groove, I find quite amazing. But, you know, he's a 500 coach. He should be under the gun. Jimmy's under the gun. They're going to be looking at him. So right now it's not looking good, but
The overall record of the head coach, to me, lacks
context.
Yeah.
Because the first year you throw it away.
That was a 10-loss team, even if Bill Walsh came and I put Joe Montana at quarterback.
That was
like a 10-loss team. And you can say, Joe, they were in a lot of games. That team had not one building block moving forward. We didn't know DeForest Buckner would beat DeForest Buckner. Jimmy Ward didn't have a position. Eric Armstead didn't have a position. And those guys evolved under this regime.
They lost 5 straight games by 3 points or less that year.
I mean, it was bad, dude. That team was horrible.
All right, 2018, you lose the quarterback in week 3.
Yeah, I don't know how many teams are going to have a winning record when they do that.
They're 4-12. So then you get 13-3. Then you get 16-6-10. And then last year, 10-7. Last year, 10-7, which looks great when you consider they started 3-5.
Would you be surprised that Jimmy Garoppolo had just a bounce back performance this week? Because we've been, like, lamenting about how bad he was in this game. I mean, do you expect, like, a good Jimmy game?
I don't know what to expect. Shasky, that's where I'm at, which is why I'm watching. I do not know what to expect from the 49ers offensively moving forward. I don't know what to expect. Are they going to protect Jimmy Garoppolo? Is he going to throw the yo-no throws? Is all of a sudden he's going to find Ayuk down the field? All of a sudden, is he going to hit Danny Gray for 40 yards?
Like, and that would require Danny Gray to line up.
I don't know what to expect from this offense. Is that fair? Like, I don't know what to expect.
I don't know. When I saw there's a video circulating across the internet right now, did you see this?
About Jimmy Garoppolo complaining about the play calls?
Yeah, coming off the field.
Yeah, saying, I don't like these play calls.
Yeah, in essence. What do you think of that when you saw that video?
Say, Jimmy, you got to hit some throws. But at the same time, I'm with them. Sometimes I don't like the play calls with Shanahan. I don't like the decision to throw the ball on first down at the 47-yard line with 2 minutes and 13 seconds left. We had control of the football game. What are you in a rush for? Decision-making. Well, bad decision-making.
We were just talking about how few times that they throw the ball, and that's right. The situation that they throw it. But I think that's where we talk about context, and that's where I get frustrated with Shanahan. It does feel like in certain game situations,
he rushes for no reason.
Or becomes really, 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 really scared. Right. You know what I mean? And it's like,
Like, when I think of great offensive coordinators, I think of them as, like, killers. Like, guys who go for the throat.
The sense of the moment.
Like, Holmgren, he's going for the throat.
Think about Andy Reid when Patrick Mahomes went down in that playoff game and they went for it with Chad Henne.
He's going for the throat.
Think about what he did on that fourth down play where he brought up that old-school Yale play against the 49ers in the first half when they were dead in the water.
Going for the throat.
Yeah.
Great offensive coordinator. Bill Walsh is going for the throat.
Your boy Sean Payton onside kick.
Going for the throat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, North Turner, when he was a Cowboys offensive coordinator, he was going to Alvin Harper deep down the field for deep pulse saying, I'm going for the jugular. I'm ending this now. That's what we think. Sean McVay going for it. Zach Taylor going for it on the first drive in the Super Bowl. Saying, the hell with this. I'm going all in. It's all that effort mode stuff. Like, you know what? I'm going full YOLO as the offensive coordinator, and we're doing whatever we got to do to put up points on the board. And Shanahan, for being all this offense, we give him credit for being an offensive guru and genius. And we're not calling him that now because it doesn't look like that, but he plays. He coaches scared at times. It's coaches conservative. And maybe it's because of the quarterback.
Well, it feels like it is.
But you know what?
That's where, as a Niner fan, I'm just so tired of watching mediocre quarterback play.
Well, that's the thing.
God, it's just so bad. It feels like we did a deal with the devil, and we got Montana and Joe. And I mean, even I would long for Jeff Garcia at this point. I am so tired of watching mediocre quarterback play. I would, honest to God, I mean this sincerely. For years, it was like, oh, defense. I love a good defense. Again, I know a lot of people do. Man, I miss the days when our quarterback would throw us to wins. I want to see, screw the defense at this point. If you told me, look, and I love defenses, and we all, defenses win championships, all that stuff. Can I just get one full season? You know what? Who cares about our defense? I want to be in a bunch of shootouts.
Let me ask
you. I want to be in 40 to 35 games every week.
Let me ask you this. Well, that's selfish because I just want to win games. I don't care about winning 17-13.
I'm exhausted by watching mediocre quarterback play.
Let me ask you this.
Exhausted by it.
Let me ask you this. Who's more boring? The 2022 San Francisco Giants or the 49ers offense from the past two seasons?
Well, the 49ers offense is always going to be more exciting in the sense that, like, I'm ready to rip my hair out or go, well,
they are boring.
Nice.
They are boring, Shasky. This offense is remedial. It is boring. Let's get to Scott real quick in Livermore. Scott.
Hi, Scott.
You're on the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game. He's listening, by the way,
what's
on the car radio.
My guys?
What's up, Scott?
What was that? What's happening? Man. All right, I got like 6,000 points, but I'll try to do it in like 30 seconds.
Okay.
One, like the whole, we talked all offseason about the marriage between Jimmy and the divorce and Trey Lance, right? And then all of a sudden, Jimmy had nowhere to go, so we're like, hey, you can sleep on the couch still. And then all of a sudden, Kyle's dipping back into the sauce and getting Jimmy pregnant, and now he's got to do the right thing because Trey Lance is no longer available. It's just the situation is killing me. Second of all, Jimmy sucks. He always sucks. If you watch the tape, he is throwing the ball not his stride. He's throwing it behind. We had Debo wide open, and Debo had to stop to catch the ball.
I know.
We had Debo open on another route, and he didn't even look his way. His awareness was horrible. Stepping outside on that safety, and then coming into the press conference, he's like, we played sloppy. We had no rhythm. We couldn't do anything. It's like, no, dude, you played sloppy. You had no rhythm. You created a fumble. You threw an interception that didn't even deserve to be thrown. You stepped out of bounds. And then he says, you know, well, it's my first week out here with these guys. I almost lost it. I was like, you've been playing with these same three playmakers, all these playmakers, for three seasons. It's Kirk Cousins in disguise. I hate it. Kyle Shanahan is living in his dad's shadow, and that's why he went out to go get Trey Lance to try and get out from that shadow. Now he can't. He's been losing for so long. He's no longer trying to win
games. We got
to
go, Scott. We got to go, Scott. Good points, Scott. Though. JD and George will get you on the other side, plus Mike Holmgren. That's coming up on the Roast, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Chesky.
JD, Cliff, George, we'll get to you in a second. Hang tight for us. We appreciate your patience. We promise to get to you after we talk to Super Bowl head coach Mike Holmgren. We love Mike. He's a city guy. Sacred Heart Cathedral, Lincoln High School. Of course, longtime offensive coordinator with the 49ers or the Bill Walsh. And, of course, won the Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers in the mid-90s. Mike, good morning. Welcome back to the Russell Joe Shasky, the Butcher, and Bonte Hill out here in San Francisco. And a lot of doom and gloom right now with the 49ers. That's their 1-2. They lost their franchise quarterback. He stunk it up on Saturday Night Football against the Broncos. But I want to start here, Mike, with Trey Lance. How did you like the way the 49ers utilized Trey Lance? Were you in favor of the quarterback runs? What did you think of the overall game plan for Trey Lance in those five quarters that he played this season?
Well, I kind of understood it. First of all, thanks for having me on, guys. But I will say this, that if you have a quarterback, like as much as they put in to work with him to make him the guy, you know, prior to the opening of this season, I would not have chosen to have runs with him. You know, he's going to make it happen naturally, but they started off, and you always run the risk of that guy getting banged up, and then the worst thing could possibly happen. I remember it was with Steve Young, you know, and when he came to the 49ers, and he was a great runner as well as a quarterback. And then Coach Walsh put in runs for him, actual quarterback runs. And then Steve would come to me in the quarterback room and say, Mike, you know, when you call a run to me, all it is 12 guys meeting close to you on the sideline. I run over there. They know it's a run. We're all there. Then we go back to running regular football. It was better when he just improvised. And so, it was a shame. I felt so bad when he got hurt. And I don't know the young man, but I know he's a talented guy, but I would not have done that.
Yeah, Mike, I'm 100% with you. I'm not a big believer in, you know, just running the quarterback up the gut. I know that there's guys that are out there, but like my big thing, just watching the game my whole life, I'm not a coach like you. He was just getting hit too much, and it felt like this guy's not going to last the year taking these kinds of shots. But the bigger question that I have is like trying to get a young man to feel confident. Let's say, because there's a lot of people, he can't throw, he can't do this, he can't do that. How do you balance it out as a head coach, trying to get a guy to feel some positive momentum early on in his career by utilizing some of the things that he does do well, but also minimizing the hits and the exposure? How do you balance that out as a head coach?
Well, that's the trick. I mean, if you're committed to him as a quarterback, and obviously they did, then you're going to play to his strengths. And also you're talking to him, and he has to know this is a growth period for him. You're not going to shoot lights out right away. And I know that. I mean, I'm your coach. I know that. So what I'm asking you to do, try and eliminate as many mistakes as possible, and I'll try and help you become the best player you can be. So hang in there with me. And then, you know, little by little, if the talent is there, and the talent is there, then you're seeing him develop as far as learning the game and his reaction, his mental reaction to different things. And that takes a little time. That takes some time. I always thought if you had the same coordinator, play caller, and system, that it would take, you really have something special in your third year of playing. Otherwise, you know, with Favre or even Joe Montana, when, you know, his first couple years with the 49ers, or Steve or the guys I had, Hasselbeck, they all of a sudden it clicks in. It clicks in. But during that growth period, you're hanging in there with them. And they have to understand, and you let them know that you're with them.
How do you, I'm going to jump in, I'm sorry, B. how do you balance that with the win now? We got to win right now because this roster is ready to win now. Like, because we've heard a lot about the conversations between Kyle and some of the leaders on this team and how they're trying to balance that out. How do you, as the head guy, how do you work with all those people and those layers of trying to balance out winning in the locker room and developing the young man? Because it seems so much easier to say and so much harder to execute.
You know what? You're right. It is a pretty easy thing to say. And then what you have to make sure is that you're, one, your owner is on board. That's hugely important. And then you kind of explain. I remember Paul Allen telling him, he goes, Mike, when we're developing Hasselbeck and developing things in Seattle, and the owner, Mr. Allen, came up and said, Mike, when are we going to really hit it? And I said, Paul, it'll be about a year and a half. And no one wants to hear that. I mean, certainly your fans don't want to hear it. But, you know, if you're being honest about it, that's what it takes. That's what the development takes. The thing with the 49ers, in watching them, and I haven't studied them, but in watching them, is they have really great talent on offense. I mean, Kittle is one of the best. Samuel's one of the best. They have a good offensive line. I mean, the fullback is. I love the fact that they play with a fullback. I love that. Not many teams do that anymore. But they're good on offense, and so bringing a young quarterback along is now's the time to do that because the other guys can really help them.
Well, we're talking to Mike Holmgren, a longtime head coach in the NFL, two-time Super Bowl champion as an assistant with the Niners, won a Super Bowl as head coach of Green Bay, got a national championship, should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We got to make that campaign happen, Mike. But to that point about everything, you talk about year three of it popping. How much does coaching turnover affect that process? Because Shanahan has lost a lot of assistants. Mike McDaniel now in Miami, 3-0. A lot of people say, boy, that's a tough loss for Shanahan. He's lost to LaFleur's. One's an offensive coordinator in New York. One's the head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is a coaching turnover effect that.
Well, it can affect it. I mean, you have to, but the thing is, in Kyle's case, you know, he calls the game.
Right.
If you're hiring coordinators to do that, then I would say you go through growing pains because, you know, they come in, they might have a little wrinkle to the system. They might have a different system. Maybe you hired them to get a different system, but that's not the case with the 49ers. So I think, even though he's lost good coaches, mm-hmm. Okay, the fact that he still calls the plays and, you know, so that's going to be pretty solid. They shouldn't suffer because of that.
Right, Mike, did you call the plays your entire tenure as head coach in Green Bay and Seattle? And if not, should maybe Kyle look to somebody to call the plays and he can focus on other things, including, you know, maybe looking at the offensive concepts, but maybe taking a step back. Did you call the plays your entire time as head coach?
Yeah, I did. You know, I mean, I got a chance to call the plays in San Francisco, and then went to Green Bay. I was going to call the plays. Being a head coach, as I learned, and when you're assistant coach, you don't really know. But when you be a head coach, there's all sorts of stuff going on. So I still wanted to have fun coaching, and fun for me was calling the games and doing that stuff, not the press conferences and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I did that. There was only in the 17 years I was the head coach and a little bit more before that with the 49ers, I only stepped back one game, and that was in Seattle. We were struggling in the first couple of years, and I said, I'm not helping. I felt that way about myself. So I turned it over to a coach to call a game. I didn't like how that went, that game. I didn't say it at the time. No one knew about it. But then And the coach that I had do that knew that it was kind of a little bit of an experiment, and then I took it back. So yeah, I've done it my whole time, and yeah, I I think in Kyle's case, as an example, he's proven to be an excellent play caller, you know, and an offensive guy. You know, the problem is, I told this to Mike McCarthy when he won in Green Bay once. He said, I'm backing away and not calling games. I said, don't do that. You know, you felt bad because you lost this game to the Seahawks in the playoffs. Don't do that because you're a good play caller. And what will happen is you'll turn it over, and then all of a sudden down the road, you'll want to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you take it back after a few games, that's disruptive.
Yeah.
So I would you know, hang in there, and,
right.
and if that's what you like to do, do it.
Yeah. But Mike Holmgren talking with a San Francisco legend, NFL legend, helped groom three different quarterbacks into the Hall of Fame, Montana, Young, Brett Favre. I mean, the guy's legendary and just knows how to treat people in and out of football. And so, Mike, I'm looking at it from a coach's point of view. You have a game like you did on Sunday night. It's in front of the entire country. Quarterback looks completely shaken. Clearly, their relationship has been very rocky, to say the least. How do they get this thing back on track? How does the coach, the quarterback, the rest of the team button themselves up and get ready to play the LA Rams, your rival, and McVay this week? It just feels like they're really on the mat right now.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about that when I knew I was going to visit with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because look, if the game is 11-10, you don't have to be a football nut to say what was wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. And so I'll tell you what. I think when they lost the quarterback, this is one man's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they Trey Lance and Jimmy, they're two different players. And going into this season and all the stuff that went on in the offseason when Lance is going to be the guy, they developed an offense for him, is my opinion. And then when he got hurt, they had to change and go back to a little. Certainly, they're two different styles,
mm-hmm.
and they had to go back to something that they probably hadn't practiced and developed in the entire off season. So to think that you're going to hop into a game, and after one game, although Garoppolo, he did play well against the Seahawks are struggling, as you know, but he played well. But to think it's going to be just like business as usual, you're making a mistake. There are going to be growing pains here. And I think transferring from a style of play that was Trey Lance oriented to now what they have to play again, plus Jimmy coming off that shoulder thing and all that kind of stuff, there's going to be some tears shed. Let me put it that way.
How much does the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have a training camp, didn't have the playbook, although he's been here since midway through 2017, how much does that really affect his play and his decision-making on the field? Because there's a lot of bad decisions that he made on Sunday night against the Denver Broncos. How much does that affect him, Mike?
That part of it is a little bit of a puzzle.
Hmm.
I mean, physically, you know, and getting back in the groove of playing, coming off the injury, that's one thing. But his decision making, you know, he's played a long time. He's played enough football to make good decisions. And if that's been a problem, then that has to get fixed right away. You know, because the team is good enough, the defense is good enough, the surrounding guys are good enough. The quarterback, in my opinion, in this case, doesn't have to be the star. He just has to make plays he should make.
Yeah.
And if all of a sudden that's not happening, then that's a serious look-see now. Let's see what's going on.
Mm. Mike, we could talk to you all day. I got so many questions for you. You're just spitting knowledge right now, and we're loving every second of it. In the game, you're the play caller, and this is why I'm at. I know it's evolved a lot. There's analytics, and there's probably more people in the headset these days than ever before. But when you are calling plays and you're being the head coach, how are you coming to decisions within 30 seconds in, hey, we're at the 41, we're up 3 points, we should go for it, we shouldn't go for it? Did you guys prepare for those situations? Did you have a certain point person who would maybe get into your head, you know, a play or two before? Were you thinking three spots ahead? Kind of just walk me through your process when you got to certain spots in the game on when to go for it, when not to go for it, because I feel like it's so easy for us to rip it, and it's just so hard when everything's being balanced and you're trying to call plays in real time.
No, that's the responsibility of the play caller, and that's why I like to do it. In fact, I had a rule, you know, and but keep in mind, now there are 26 coaches on each staff. We had eight. So upstairs, and I had my button, I could go on defensive, listen to the defensive coaches or the offensive coaches. You can do that.
Okay,
but I also had a rule that when we were on offense, I didn't want to hear anything. No one talks. No one talks except for one guy, and that guy would talk if I asked him a question. No one offers opinions. No one says, do this, do that. That was my job. And so that I was able to keep, I think, a little clearer head that way. And then as you do it more, you know, you're thinking a couple plays ahead every time. You're thinking field position. You're thinking clock. Right. You're thinking all those things. But that's your job. That's what you're paid to do. The hard part was when you have a coordinator, like in Seattle. I use Seattle as an example. Right. They have a coordinator who calls the offense, but Pete Carroll is the defensive head coach. Now, if the defense, you call a play. This happened to me in San Francisco near the end. You call a play, and the head coach goes, no, call something else. I go, well, gee, you know, it throws off your rhythm.
Was that Seifert?
You know, yeah, it had hard. To be. Of course it was Seifert.
It was Seifert, right?
Yeah, you know, you didn't know names. No names, Shasky.
I love Seifert.
Snitchy Shasky over here. Paulie, we all love Shasky. Go
no
ahead,
names,
Mike.
No names.
Gosh, Shasky.
Hey, Mike.
Trying to put Mike on a hot
my
seat
bad,
here.
My bad. Before you get on out of here, you had a lot of personnel decisions as well. You had a lot of authority as you grew later in life. If you could look back and talk to someone like Kyle, who we believe has final say on a lot of the personnel things, what is maybe a couple of rules that you have learned or created for yourself over your time being the head coach and the personnel guy?
Well, one thing, when I came to Seattle, when I had all the responsibility, I was able to hire Ted Thompson. And Ted went on to be the president of the Green Bay Packers for a long time. And I trusted him. He was smart. He was good. And so I would listen to him, and he was in charge of personnel, bring me what he wanted to do, and then, of course, I had to make the final call and say no. Very rarely did I trump him. I wouldn't do that. Same when I learned that from Ron Wolf. You know, when I came into the league first as a head coach, and Ron was my boss in Green Bay, he would listen. He was really good at that. He really listened, and at times I could talk him into things, but I also knew he was my boss. And so coaching to me, it was I wanted to coach, you know, and I loved the personnel part of it, but coaching was what I wanted to do. So I hired a great personnel person. Jimmy Johnson, I remember, was the other way. He wanted to be a personnel guy. So he hired Norv Turner and Dave Wanstead to be his coordinators and be the brains behind the coaching part of it. He wanted to do it a different way. So it's kind of what the coach wants to do. It's very hard to do it all without help. That's for sure.
Mike, it sounds like you need to be back on the sidelines.
Or just be a part of a team and be like the consigliere. Yeah. We need you back in the red and gold.
Well, you know what? I'm enjoying my retirement, my grandkids right now. I don't need to. I've lost all my hair, so I can't lose any more hair.
You can wear a hat. They have cool hats now in the NFL, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wear one like Kyle. I will tell you that right now.
No flat hat
brim, huh? Mike, you're always good to us, man. We appreciate it.
Gosh.
We're going to start. How are you not in Canton, Ohio?
Yes.
Seriously. No,
seriously.
Honestly,
it's
we're not
ridiculous.
Even just being homers here. It's a joke.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. I know that. And so we'll see. You know, if I can hang in there long, my birthday's coming up, I'll be 75. I'm going to hang in there. If Vermeil got in at 85, I still got a shot.
We
got
to get you in.
Yeah, we
we're
going to
make
in,
that
Mike.
The mantra of the morning roast.
Yeah, no doubt. No
Thank
doubt,
you for
Mike.
Spending
Thanks
some
so
time
much.
With us.
All right, guys. Take care.
Anytime. Mike Holmgren, national champion,
best.
Super Bowl champ. Should be in the Hall of Fame. A lot. I wish we had time to react to that. We'll do that tomorrow morning.
I wanted to do 3 hours with him.
Yeah, we could do that tomorrow morning because there's a lot there with Jimmy Garoppolo. He said it's puzzling. Doesn't know whether or not training camp or OTAs matter. Like, it's puzzling because he's played a lot of football. Like, he played like a rookie on Sunday night, and he's been in the league for 9 years.
Did you hear about when he was talking about, like, the running of the kid? And he's like, I was sick to my stomach for that.
Well, that's number one. And we need to play that for a lot of people.
Wow.
Who say, oh, everybody does it. Go watch Buffalo. Go watch Philly. You ran the kid into the ground.
Well,
you drafted him to be a pocket quarterback. Let him struggle from the pocket. Let him learn from the pocket. We know he could do all those other things.
Well, he's going to run naturally on the scrambles.
You heard Mike say that?
And you're going to have a natural, you know, ability to be able to escape. I mean, the first drop back in the Arizona game last year,
right?
He had to scramble because Chandler Jones was in his lap.
Right. Well, he didn't have to throw George Seifert under the bus. Was that George Seifert? We all know who it was, Shasky.
That's okay.
We all know who it was.
How fascinating was it when he went? They went from 8 guys on a staff
to 26.
He would have no one talk during those situations so that he could think clearly. Yep. I mean, this is clearly an individual in Mike Holmgren who has forgotten more about football than any of us will ever know. Dude. I just found that fascinating.
Right off the rip, he would not have ran Trey like that. He would not have ran Trey Lance like that. Let's go to JD in San Mateo. He's been waiting on hold for a while.
So good.
And then we'll get to Cliff in Vallejo. JD, listening on the car radio. You're on the roast. What's up, JD?
Yo, what's up, man? I love the last call.
Holmgren.
Yep.
The best.
Yeah, man. But I'm going to have to say that I'm tired of seeing this 49ers offense. You know what we look like? A Pop Warner football team on offense.
Mm.
I don't want to see Shanahan on that sideline. I'd rather see him up in the office box looking down on the field so he can get a little more view of the field and see what we're doing and what we're not doing right on offense. It's just crazy how Jimmy G was playing. I'm a Jimmy G fan, man. They need to play more, better, and Kyle Shanahan need to get his head out of you-know-what and open up that playbook. I don't care how many picks Jimmy G throws. he throw 5 picks, but, man, open up that playbook and utilize your playmakers.
You know what? Open it up and just say, hey, look, this guy can't make the plays. At least do that instead of just limiting him if that's the case. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. But, Shasky, you hear me what I'm saying? Throw it at him and say, you know what, Jimmy? You want freedom to cook? You want to do all these things? Here you go.
Okay. These two concepts cannot work in tandem. So just hear me out for 1 second. When you run the ball a lot, the clock keeps ticking.
It does.
And you limit the amount of possessions. So when you do that, and if that's what your ethos is going to be, and you turn the ball over and are not explosive, that is a recipe for being let down. So, for example, we talk about the Warriors and their turnovers.
Yep.
How many times have we said, well, it really doesn't matter how many times they turn it over because they play at such a great pace and they'll be able to overcome it.
And it's all about the shots they get and the passes they get, and they end up getting more shots than
so
other
So when
teams.
You run the ball as much as they do, and you have Jimmy turning it over, it's a recipe for being let down and losing because you're throwing it all around. You're not going to make up for it with explosive plays. So I guess what I'm saying is I'll defend Shanahan. If his ethos is going to be running the ball, him throwing it around all over the place when he's not running it is probably a nightmare because that one turnover is the difference of
it
losing.
And it was a difference in losing on Sunday night. However, when you run the ball, and as Baldy said, they had one big pop. And everything else is like 2 yards a carry.
No,
there was nothing creative in the run game on Sunday. So your running game is not creative. It looks very predictable. It looks very predictable in the way you utilize Deebo Samuel. It looks very predictable in the way you utilize George Kittle. Then what's next?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Offense needs a jolt badly. And I wonder,
Rams,
I just wonder, has Shanahan evolved as an offensive play caller? Has he? Because yesterday you were screaming, and I agree with you 100%. Nothing looks spectacular. The screens look very bland. When they throw the ball, it looks very bland. There's a lot of 3 wide receiver routes. A lot of 4 wide, like, it just doesn't look creative whatsoever.
And I'll defend him on this one. I'm talking about Shanahan and the play calling. When you have Jimmy out there's only like 4 spots on the field he's throwing to. A power slant, you know, maybe a dig route here and there, and a bunch of smoke screens.
I understand all that.
It's very easy to know where the ball's going.
I understand all that. But Jimmy's here because of Shanahan. You could have moved out them 3 years ago.
I know.
So it's tough for me to keep blaming Jimmy when the guy who hand-selected the quarterback and saying to myself, well, he's not my guy, yet he's still here 3 years later. I've been yelling for 3 years on the station.
It just feels like the book is out on Jimmy, and more than anything.
The book's been out on Jimmy, yet this guy is still with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's still here, and that's on the head coach. That's on the head coach.
I have no rebuttal.
You had chances to go get other guys, and you finally go get your other guy, and you run him like an Air Force quarterback. You just hurt a border. Should be a Hall of Fame coach, Mike Holmgren. I would not have used Trey Lance like that. I'm never. Mike Holmgren's an offensive guru. That's an offensive genius.
Oh, he's one of my favorite coaches of all
time.
That's
an offensive guru.
I wanted him to take over the Niners in 2005.
Let's get to Cliff real quick in Vallejo before we get to the flex. Cliff, what's happening? You got about 30 seconds into the flex moment of the show. What's up, Cliff?
What's going on, fellas? Top of the morning to you guys.
Top of the morning.
Hey, I have the perfect analogy of the Niners fans and my man Gucci Man, who made this rap about him and his relationship with his other girl while he's having his relationship with his woman.
Huh.
And the other girl keep asking him, what are we about? What are we about? Who are we? Am I your friend? Am I this? Am I that? And Gucci Man said, I still don't know. I don't know who Kyle Shanahan is after 6 years. You understand what I'm saying?
I know where you're going, Cliff.
I have no idea what you're saying.
But we got to the end row in the end game, and you mixed in some Gucci Man. I'm not mad at that. Now let's flex.
I believe that Kyle Shanahan, through smoke and mirrors, has made Jimmy Garoppolo so much better than what he truly is. If I would have just plopped Jimmy G, and I'm not taking anything away. I think Jimmy is very average at a lot of things. If we were just ranking skill sets, we can sit here and argue about it like, oh, he's got a quick release. He doesn't see the field.
Right.
He's not mobile. I don't think he throws guys open. I think he has to see the wide open throw before he can make it.
Yeah.
I think his accuracy is wildly overrated. Like, I don't think that Jimmy Garoppolo, people are knocking their door down to go acquire him. And I think Kyle Shanahan deserves an absolute ton of credit for propping him up. Now, the other side is true as well. Shanahan can't win without Garoppolo. Like, that's a fact right now in terms of the record. But I do believe Shanahan deserves a lot of credit there.
The Flex of the Show, presented by Xfinity Flex.
So,
the 4K streaming TV box with voice remote and Peacock Premium. Free with Xfinity Internet.
This morning, they fly by. So, the book is out on Jimmy Garoppolo. We've known that for a couple years now.
Is it a bestseller?
But no, it's not. But is the book out on Kyle Shanahan? We've had Baldy this morning say the offense looks beige. Called it color. It is beige, flat. And said he really misses Mike McDaniel. Then we have Mike Holmgren just on, who should be in the Hall of Fame, a great offensive coordinator, great head coach, won multiple Super Bowls, got national championships, saying he would not have used Trey Lance the way they shot Kyle Shanahan did. Is the book out on Shanahan? Is the book out on him? Because I keep hearing you, Mark, and I listen, I'm not trying to get on you, but I've heard you say if Shanahan
you can jump into my lap if you want to.
No, I won't do that.
You're wearing some good looking pink shorts today.
Yeah, I mean, little palm trees, little Hawaii.
Flexing on the world champs, too.
Come on,
come on.
What's up, the championship franchise? Not the
49ers. I'm just sitting down. Just getting warm. You say whatever you want to me.
No, but it's a combination of things. Shanahan, Damon Bruce saying that the Niners have a Shanahan problem. The defense is getting wasted by Kyle Shanahan.
He overdid it yesterday, which we'll get to, but go ahead.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Mark Willard, you said that if Shanahan gets fired, there'd be a line around the block for his services. My rebuttal is,
I believe
who cares?
That.
We're moving on to the next. Who cares? He could be the next North Turner as a head coach,
for
all we know. But I'm saying all that to say there's some alarming trends under Kyle Shanahan when it comes to points per game, when it comes to takeaway giveaways, when it comes to penalties. They're the bottom half of the league under Kyle Shanahan during his 6 years. Now, if you want to throw away the first year, that's fine. You even want to throw away the second year, that's fine. The fact is, they are heavily penalized under Kyle Shanahan. They turn the ball over Kyle Shanahan.
Go through those years, though. Go through those years.
I get it.
Because there's context.
There is.
And it's
Kenny Rogers,
it's
through
very,
the years.
It's very A to B when you have your quarterback and when you don't.
But
like, for instance,
Shanahan hasn't had his quarterback.
I know. And who's to blame for that? I don't know. We can get into that, and we have. But
Every guy in prison.
I'll give you an example.
I'm innocent. I would have been free if I had a real lawyer. I'd still be coaching if I had Rogers.
I'll give you an example. Let me ask you guys this.
I'm teasing.
Okay?
I'm teasing.
Bill Belichick's career record
without Brady
will be affected this Sunday in Green Bay with Brian Hoyer as his quarterback.
Yeah.
Are we holding this game, which hasn't even been played yet? Are we going to go, oh, that's a loss?
But he did get Vinny Testaverde and Bernie Kosar to the playoffs with the Browns when they had a long record of not getting there.
No doubt.
Like, so, got to the playoffs, he was a Super Bowl coordinator with the New York Giants in the 80s.
Look, we get it. We get it, right? So that's kind of my point, though, is that I think we can do overall numbers. There are plenty of questions. I did a deep dive on this injury thing and found some really fascinating stuff under the Shanahan era. Just, like, there's that perception out there. In fact, I had a good buddy text me during the show yesterday, and he was like, hey, the 49ers get hurt more than everybody else. And I go, do they, or is that just what every fan thinks?
It's football.
Because, it's football. Yeah. So I did a dive, and actually, the 49ers get hurt more than everybody else.
What's the acronym? So is it AGL?
So adjusted games loss.
Oh.
Under the Shanahan era.
The war of the NFL.
I will circle back and answer your question.
Yeah. Okay.
But adjusted games loss, under Kyle Shanahan for 5 years running, they have been in the bottom third of the league every single year. Go to more recent times. In 2020, they were 32nd
out
of 32.
They lost like three guys on consecutive plays.
Last year, a good year, 29th out of 32. So they have been one of the most injured teams. And then we don't have data yet for this year because we're only 3 weeks
in. It feels bad.
But how are we doing?
So
I can't. It's football, so I can't sit here and tell you why that is. I also can't just dismiss it. I can't. Like, I can't categorically be like, bad luck for the sixth year in a row. I don't know.
Every team, like, I watched the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl lose their entire secondary. And they held on to beat Pittsburgh, but he wasn't a Hall of Famer yet.
No,
he wasn't
there yet.
You know what I'm saying? But like, teams have injuries. Teams have injuries, and I can't use an injury. We're 6 years in, and you talk about all these coaches having their quarterback. Well, Kyle, you've had multiple opportunities to go get your guy.
Yeah.
To go get your guy. And we're back with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, he got his guy hurt.
I'm with you.
No, and so...
So what does he really want?
He wants Trey Lance to be the quarterback that he thought that Trey Lance could be, which is a runner-thrower, but he didn't let him be a thrower. He only trusted him to be a runner. And this is where Mark and I have gone back and forth on the Kyle Shanahan question, because to me, it's not just the play calling, it's the trust. It's being able to trust your team to go out there and play the way other teams play, because this offense, and beige is a great way to describe it. I've used the word flaccid and boring.
I like that word.
Their offense, when you watch this Niner team, I'm waiting for the defense to come on the field for some excitement, because the offense is just so boring.
What about decision making for Kyle Shanahan?
I don't love it. And Steiny had a line yesterday that he actually borrowed from me when I was on paternity leave, because I texted him, I said, I want one time in my life to watch a Niner game and say, Kyle, you're being too reckless. You're taking too many damn chances. He coaches scared, is what Steiny said. And I firmly believe that. He coaches not to lose instead of to win. Wow. So we need to make a killer.
It's always chicken to the egg, though, because and this is what I'd love to every fan, and you can all come up with your own answer to this. But in the same sentence, we'll say Kyle coaches scared, and then we'll go, and Jimmy sucks. Well, maybe that's why Kyle's coaching scared. Or is it the other way around, right? Like, we all have to answer that. But if you have those opinions simultaneously, then you've sort of answered your own question.
Well Mark, here's a great example. Me and him watching the Super Bowl here for the station. There's like 50 million of us here watching the game. We're doing the pre and post right before halftime. Whoop. And I said, and we to our deathbed, I believe that I was right, and he'll believe he was right. I didn't want Mahomes to get the ball back before the end of half. They had suffocated him, and I feared him so much. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm okay with them trying to click the clock. And him and John Lynch, because John Lynch was in the booth, are screaming tight end, and he's screaming at me, you got to be aggressive. And I'm like, dude, they are shutting down Mahomes right now. Yeah. It's good. Like, I understand.
But you played scared.
And we can still have this debate 3 years later, and I think you can make both cases.
Right.
Kyle came out after the game and was like, that's a no-brainer. He thought it was a no-brainer.
Anytime you can keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands, in my opinion, that's how you play. But how long can you do that?
Yeah. How big of a lead do you need?
And also, it was a 10-10 game.
I'm trying to echo
Kansas
the point.
City, 10-10 game. Kansas City had a terrible defense. You had three timeouts. You're an offensive guy, right? offensive guys like Holmgren, McVay, Zach Taylor, these offensive guys are like, I'm going to be aggressive and I'm going to score points because I'm arrogant enough and I know my offense, this defensive coordinator, Spagnuolo, cannot stop me.
But they did that. They did that against in the overtime game in 2019, that same year against the Rams, or excuse me, against Seattle, and they lost. Remember, they went 3-and-out and it was like, they should be playing for the tie. Yeah. You guys remember that game?
That was the end of the game. Different situation. But then in that same game in the Super Bowl, midfield, and I'm saying to myself, okay, there's a minute 49 left and 3 timeouts. Mahomes cannot touch this ball again. Their offense is rolling. So we're either going to lose the game with us having the ball, or we're going to win the game and we're going to bleed all the clock. And that midfield, he did the same thing in Denver, which we didn't talk about enough. He threw it 3-4 straight times at midfield when you could have been running the ball. And then in Denver, you're throwing out first down when you got the ball at the 47-yard line in over 2 minutes left. You got the game in control.
I'm going to admit that I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit for a second here. But everybody you just mentioned about, this guy's aggressive, that guy's aggressive, they all have good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So if your point is that Jimmy stinks, let's visualize it now.
Yeah.
Now,
this is what I'm coming with.
Kyle goes for it. You're at your own 20. It's almost halftime of the Super Bowl. Let's get aggressive. And Jimmy goes, oh no. What are you going to say about Kyle?
I'm going to say, Dan, I'm not going to say anything about Kyle. I'm going to say a lot about, no. I'm going to say a lot about Jimmy.
Exactly.
I'm going to say a lot about Jimmy. This is why.
Exactly.
This is why I would say. This is why I'm going to go at Kyle. No, excuse me, at Jimmy Garoppolo. Because then, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you can go to John Lynch and say, I tried it with this guy. We lost the Super Bowl. Let me go get somebody else. And that was the offseason of Brady. No, they flirted and decided, we're going to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo. When it was obvious in the Super Bowl, you did not trust him. So that's on Kyle for Jimmy still being around.
But we also
he got burned by Brady because I don't think any of us thought that Brady would immediately go to Tampa and win a Super Bowl.
He looked cooked.
I didn't know he was going to win a Super Bowl.
He looked worse than
Jimmy the year before.
To my point, Kyle Shanahan has had a chance to go get his quarterback starting when he first got the job.
He got his guy.
Got the job. And Mahomes and Watson, he decided, I'm not even going to scout them.
I don't want to defend Kyle Shanahan, but in that moment, that roster was so devoid of talent that they were not ready for the franchise QB. He built the roster up. He got to a point. And this last draft, 2 years ago, there were so many quarterbacks. That was the moment. He seized the moment. He traded up. Yep. He got his guy. And he had a year to coach up his guy, and then his guy wasn't ready to throw. That's where I have the most issue with Kyle Shanahan, because week two, you already weren't ready to let him throw the ball. You weren't ready to let Trey cook, which is what we all talk about with quarterbacks. Right. Yeah. And instead, you made Trey, go out and run the ball, pound the rock, and he got hurt.
I think the hardest thing, I never went to practice as a fan, ever. I've never went to practice. So I think it's hard for a lot of people that are watching the game on the Sunday, and they're like, well, what's going on in practice, right, for the backups? Develop this guy on the side. That's what people, he'll be the backup and he'll develop. I don't think people realize how few reps and opportunities to actually sculpt someone when they're not the starter that you can get. And it's a very... there's a ceiling on development on the side when you're the backup. I just think it's easier to say, develop the guy for another year under the radar.
But he gets reps with the scout team. And, Jimmy G was emulating Seattle.
It's just different.
It is different, but at the same time, it's at least a chance to throw against a real defense.
And you're in the building and you're in. Exactly. I get it.
Niners defense
but you need live bullet reps.
Yes, no matter
what
you could develop. I mean, Trey could sit there for 5 years.
Exactly.
The whole contract. And we'll be like, we're going to give you every first team rep in practice. Don't care until you play.
Exactly.
There's not a one of us you have to go play actual NFL games.
That's my point.
And so Trey was going to go through a developmental process this year, no matter how ready or unready or whatever he was, and now he doesn't. And that is probably the largest disaster of this entire story so far.
Going back to the coach scare thing, Dibs. We talked about the Super Bowl. How many offensive coordinators or offensive coaches, like Mike Holmgren just joined us, you think he's letting time run off the clock at a Super Bowl to run a 2-minute drill? You imagine Brady being told, hey, we're going to just milk the clock. Brady would have threw his helmet.
Kyle doesn't have Brady. I mean, again, my question is
Kyle doesn't trust who he has, and that's my greater point.
That is very fair.
And yet the guy he didn't trust 3 years ago is still on his football team.
Well, right. Although he didn't want him to be. He did not want him to be the starter. He fired him, and here we are, and we all know that story. I think this video, and I heard you guys bring it up about an hour ago, this lip reading of Jimmy Garoppolo.
What do you make of that?
Well, I can't read the full sentence, but there is a part.
In layman's.
Play sucks, man, yeah. is definitely what he says at the end of that sentence. Your plays suck, man.
He just went to Kill a Mockingbird the night before. Okay. That's what he's talking about.
This is a thing, let's go back. Let's go back.
That's where I thought you were going for a second. No.
Too soon.
He's red.
It's only been 200 years. Let's fuck 80, whatever.
If you go back to the day that Jimmy Garoppolo was brought back, and I still think, as a 49er fan, you have to be more happy than not with what's taken place because Trey's hurt. I'm glad Jimmy's here. But if you take me back 3.5 weeks ago, I'll say the same thing I said that day.
You were right.
Don't do this because there's too many things in the way. There's too many potholes on the road, and you have no idea what you're going to hit.
Potholes in my lawn.
And now look at this.
I underestimated. You were 100% correct.
Look what we have here. Yeah. And Dibs, you just said this in the other room. You know what we have here?
What?
Jimmy Garoppolo, for the first time in his career, is going to start bucking. He's like a teenager that just turned 13. He said it to Chris Collinsworth before Sunday Night Football. Yep. Chris said to him, hey, is there a piece of you that's like, oh, you need me now? And Jimmy looked at him and went, a little bit. So,
Jimmy's been too nice.
Exactly.
Everybody's been taking shots at you. Jimmy, stand up for yourself.
You say to your teenager, go to your room. You go to your room.
Exactly. What are you going to do?
Totally. That's interesting with the whole bucket. And you know what? Can you blame Jimmy if he did?
You cannot blame him one bit. But here's what we've got. We are at an absolute crossroads already after 3 weeks because which way is this going to go? Are these two going to get on the same page, or is Jimmy Garoppolo going to be a defiant teenager all year long? Because they're like, everybody's got a breaking point. Think of what, and I know we all want to go, oh, he made $100 million. I don't feel bad for him. I'm not asking for you to feel bad for Jimmy. But let's acknowledge this guy has been taken on a road and a ride that no player in the history of this league has ever experienced ever before. And he's got a massive ego. And so's Kyle. And so's everybody in the room. And we're acting like this is just easy to navigate. It's not.
No, I believe Jimmy Garoppolo has been the most disrespected 49er over the last 30 years. Easily. He's been a good Niner. He helped his franchise become relevant again. He had a big part of that. Now he has his limitations, right? And we've all cited his limitations. And the head coach cited his limitations and said, you know what? I need to move multiple picks that could get my guy. To get my guy. And then you get your guy, and all of a sudden he's not, quote unquote, ready. And all of a sudden the locker room is talking about, well, we're better off with Jimmy Garoppolo. And after 1 week, Jimmy Garoppolo's pouting off. Fan base is pouting off. He's missing throws. This has the makings of a disaster this season.
Totally.
And that's why we're going to all be watching all year long.
I can't wait. Monday night is going to be everything.
Fascinating.
Because if it's a similar look to the Denver game, let's say the Rams beat him 13-12.
Okay.
Let's say the defense again balls out.
You don't think that's going to happen, though.
I'll let you know, Mark, because I believe I had it right in this last week.
You did.
I think I had 12-11 and turned out 11-10.
You're way off. Right.
Yeah, my fault. I need to be better.
Your fault.
Out to 11-5 in our, in our little contest, but we'll get to that. But if this week turns out to be like another 11-10 game that they lose and Jimmy Garoppolo in the offense looks beige again, and they're 1-3.
But don't you understand the soap opera by now? And Vegas is telling you with the spread that the 49ers will win on Monday because that's the way this story goes. That's the way this story always goes.
Cut, 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 cut.
As soon as you're ready to go all in, they make you want to spit them out. And as soon as you're ready to spit them out, they suck you back in. The 49ers are the tee on the 18th hole.
This feels different,
when you've been playing terrible.
Hello, fans.
And you hit the damn drive right down the middle and you go, oh, gosh, I got to make another tee time for tomorrow.
Hey, this feels different, though.
Maybe.
This offensive line, with the lack of running backs, this feels very different than last year.
So my question is
this then. Because Garoppolo, we're going to beat on him till we're blue in the face. We're going to say, oh, he can't make these throws. We've known that for 3 years now. When does this fall on Kyle Shanahan? Because I keep hearing you say, and I'm not saying fire him. I haven't said that one time. I don't think he's ever been on a hot seat. I don't think he's on a hot seat.
Well, he's accountable for a lot of the things. I don't think. Now, no one has said he's like just above the whole. Like, of course.
At some point,
and he was not good on Sunday night.
You look at the offense, it hasn't evolved. It doesn't look creative. The decision making, the decline of penalty and allow Denver to kick a 55-yard field goal, call that play at the goal line, to make the decision to say, hey, we're going to throw it on first down. Even though we have the ball around midfield, we could run it a couple times and run this clock and ensure that Russell Wilson doesn't touch the football again. Kyle's got it. Like, I'm looking at Kyle saying, this is all on you.
It doesn't fall on him until we see Trey Lance, and Trey Lance is not what they all thought that he was. So this year, and it's not a popular opinion, this year Kyle Shanahan gets a mulligan because he got stuck with Jimmy.
So he gets another mulligan.
Kyle Shanahan is always going to be linked to Trey Lance, and I said it when he made the move to draft up and get him, trade up and get him. Until Trey Lance is proven to not be the guy, Kyle Shanahan gets a pass because he didn't want Jimmy G, and now they have all these injuries. So if they end up going 8-9 this year, and it's an up and down year, and it's a soap opera, honestly,
I know that's
Kyle Shanahan does not get called on the carpet until Trey Lance is proven to be a bust.
Well, here's the other thing though, and this is what they welcomed.
Get at least 7 years,
but this is what they welcomed into the room. Yeah. This is what they welcomed into the room, and we're 3 weeks in, and actually only a game and a half in of the next Jimmy era, and we're already here, whether we mean it, whether we think it, whether we'll say it out loud. Every fan has already been painted into a corner of, when there's a problem, is this Kyle or Jimmy? And both of them are now low-key pointing at one another.
Yep.
You're seeing it with the with Jimmy. What happened after the Seattle game? Man, that was fun. I got to sling it around. Yeah. We don't get to do that around here.
It was very like the bike.
Okay, and then what happens after Denver? We got video. These plays
got a flat tire.
These plays suck. And what about that safety, Jimmy? Well, I was put in a tough situation. No. Yeah, I got. So we are all now being put in a position of, who's the problem? This is like a poor man's Tom or Bill.
You're right.
Who is it? Is it Tom or Bill? Yeah. No. Is it Kyle or Jimmy? And now, with these two pitted against one another, have fun with that.
You're right.
That does not lead to successful football.
Kyle is signed through 2025.
I know.
And think about the way that the Yorks go about their business, because ultimately this is a Jed York thing. So Kyle Shanahan's got 22, 23, 24, and 25. Well, we know in pro football, you don't get into 25 in a lame duck year and coach that year. So he's got 22 this year, 23, and 24. 22 is a wash.
And that's Trey's contract, too. That's Trey's contract.
Right. So in 2023, if Trey Lance is healthy and Trey Lance plays, if Trey Lance is not good next year, then you make a move. So Kyle's got this year, and he's got next year. And that's next year is when the hot seat really begins.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but it's also getting way ahead of ourselves.
No, it is.
You have to know, what are the results and what got us there?
And how does this
year
end?
And we know that better than anyone, because listen to the context we're sitting here talking about. It is year six of Jimmy and Kyle, but this is a very different Jimmy and Kyle than we've ever had before.
And how does this year end? With the first-time head coach and the first-time GM, how do the players start to react? Because we've already got leaks 2.5-3 weeks into the season. It's already been leaks. Whether or not we agree with Michael Silver or not, players going to him, coaches going to him, we've already had leaks. What if this spirals out of control? What happens in November? What happens in December with the players and with Jimmy and with Shanahan and with this fan base saying, you know what? At one point, Jed York was paying three different head coaches. The hell with Shanahan, pay him and go get somebody else in. Because it feels like we're headed to that if they don't start winning some football.
It would have to be complete anarchy. It would have to be anarchy of the highest level to where, you know, more than just one or two players whispering to Michael Silver. It would have to be a multitude of guys and some on-field histrionics and, like, you know, Brandon Ayuk going off the field and spiking his helmet. Right. Can I get a target?
Because receivers start complaining.
Debo will start complaining.
Debo's already waving his hands in the air saying, what's up, man? I'm not getting the ball down the field. I'm getting all these smoke routes and carries where everybody's stuffing me 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage. At some point, the mulligans have to stop with Shanahan. Sure. That's where I'm getting at.
Yeah,
how many mulligans does he deserve?
So what covers up any problems in football? Great quarterback play. Great quarterback play.
Winning is the bottom line.
Here's where you're right, Dibs, on the timeline, but it's maybe not just about the final record. Trey Lance will come back, and it's contract year three. Then after that is year four. That would technically be extension year. That's also decision.
Exactly.
Do we pick up the fifth-year option at that point? If at the end of that year, if you're still sitting there going either A, I don't know about Trey, or Trey didn't work out, he's not the guy. If any of that is the discussion in 2024, the question you would be asking yourselves is, okay, now you need a quarterback again, and who do you want picking that player? And Kyle would be in a very tough spot by then.
Gone.
For the 49ers to say, this is who we want to pick our next quarterback.
Can you give a guy to pick his quarterback? He's had multiple chances.
You get one chance when you use three first round picks, and that's always a semantics thing.
And a mid round pick.
Yeah. Whatever they use to move.
People get really upset about that. Three, but they got one back. So I don't know why this is so hard.
It's really not that hard. It was a net two.
It was a net two. Yes, but they did give up three.
They sure did. So you give up three, you got the one, you picked your guy, and if he's not the one, well then you got to go. It's one thing if you have the 28th pick and you pick a guy in the first round and say, hey, we anointed him and he's not the guy. Okay, he was the 28th overall. Yeah. You moved up.
But what
you
if
you traded three first round picks.
But here's why you got to wait for context, because we're all sitting here. Jimmy got replaced, except for he got replaced off of the NFC title game. What if Trey's got an unbelievable defense and the Niners are in the NFC title game, but we're having the same conversation of, boy, this guy, I'm just not sure about him, but they're winning. Do you fire Kyle? Do you bring in a different personnel?
Trey's only 24 at that point. Jimmy Garoppolo's in his 30s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Big difference.
Yeah. No, there's a big difference, but you're going to make a decision on a guy year four. Like, that's what you watched the New York Giants last night. Why did they not pick up Daniel Jones' option?
They want to see it.
Because
they're like, they're 2-1.
Right.
Right? They were in.
He got outplayed by Cooper Rush.
Yes, he did.
But again, this is where teams, and this is where I got to get back on Kyle, they know they have Daniel Jones. Their offensive line stinks. You have a young quarterback, built the guys up front. That's one thing in the offseason the Niners failed at. Let Lincoln go. You didn't know about Alex Mack. You don't draft the center. Now we got Jake Brindle fumbling snaps, knowing, hey, the count's on two, or the count's on one. Oh. Jake Brindle thinks it's on two. Like, you don't fix the offensive line knowing that Trey was going to take the keys to this Porsche.
That's with you on this.
That's roster construction.
Totally with you on that. And by the way, I heard Baldy and you guys were talking about the whole Kittle comment. Like, I thought this was super interesting. Why don't the 49ers do with Kittle what the Chiefs do with Kelce? Why doesn't he set up wide, flank out, go deeper? And I would agree on all of that, except for I would have loved to have had that conversation prior to Trent Williams getting hurt. Because now, just a word to the wise, if you've got Kittle on your fantasy team, go ahead and bench him for October.
Right.
Because George Kittle is now needed to be the second left tackle.
I'm in a league where blocks count, though. You get half a point per block. Full point for pancakes.
I'm going to block you.
We saw the numbers for George Kittle. Numbers for Kittle. 51 of 56 snaps on the field. 38 times he was lined up next to the tackle. One time in the backfield. 8 times in the slot.
You saw it right away. Trent Williams went out of the game, and they put Kittle right over there next to whoever they're going to stick.
Colton
McKivitz, Jalen Moore, whoever you're going to stick at left tackle. They're like, put 85 next to him and help him out because he's going to need it.
What about the loss of McDaniel? Because Baldy's been on this multiple times saying that's a big, important piece.
I had it yesterday, and this guy mocked me. Well, you ridiculed me, Mark, and now I've been validated.
No.
It's a validation sensation.
And Baldy said it back in August, too. He said it back in August.
I said it in July.
I said it first.
Any good coach is a loss, but here's what I'm trying to figure out. Are we saying that even if McDaniel is, right, I heard you guys this morning, he found Mostert, he found Matt Breida. Okay, fine. He's brilliant. Let's reverse it. He's actually the one calling the plays. Kyle didn't learn anything from him.
Right.
Like, we're acting like Kyle's like, boy, I don't even know what to do now because Mike McDaniel's not here. I have a hard time believing that. The 49ers have largely looked the same with a ton of coaching turnover the entire Kyle Shanahan era.
And is that a problem? Because they haven't evolved offensively. It's the same thing we've seen.
It's why they tried to get a different quarterback.
McVay's why they tried. And now the quarterback's out. Hey, this is going to be Monday Night Football against the Rams. We'll break that down a little bit later in the week. What else you guys got going on today?
You guys will be down there, right?
I don't think we're broadcasting down there. We'll be down there for the game.
Okay.
I'm trying to get in the heat have us broadcast there the next day. Maybe
the next day.
That's a good idea.
Get up in a hotel room.
Yeah, sell out hotel, lounge.
Wake up about 5:30. Walk downstairs at 5:50. Boom. Do the show for 3 hours. Be on my way.
Trust me. I was down there last time with Kyle and the great engineer Tim Jordan. Tim Jordan held court for about 2 hours. We were talking about old Bay Area radio stories.
Mm.
And next thing you know, you check your phone. It's like, damn, dude, it's damn near midnight.
Got to go.
You boys got to go. You boys got to go.
But no, we are definitely doing our show down there next Monday.
Can't wait.
That I know. So if you are,
I can wake up in time.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, if anybody is staying down there.
White Claws has kept coming.
If anybody's staying down there the night before on Sunday night, or if you want to make your way down early, we would love to hang out with you at the Hilton as we get ready for that football game. But I'm still stuck on that Vegas number. It keeps going up. It was one thing before the two teams played. It was another thing that was even higher after they played. And then it's been bet up even higher. I don't know what is going on, why the 49ers are a rising favorite in this football game, but I'm not going to dismiss it.
Well, Baldy mentioned that the Rams and Matt Stafford will give you a couple turnovers.
No doubt. And the 49er defense against Matt Stafford right now is a Quiznos unfair matchup.
Yes, they are going to dominate
defensively.
Following
the money always works. I mean, it sure worked in Denver.
You know what? That I have actually to think about before did. I leave.
If you bet them before the injury, you won.
The money they moved were to the Niners and they
were plus three. Holmes, they were plus three.
Think about it. How's ESPN feeling right now? They just watched the Niners on Sunday Night Football, pump the ball a ton, convert one third down, and now they got them on Monday Night Football. It looks like the formula is going to be the same. It's going to be a lot of punts.
ESPN's thrilled. LA and San Francisco. The ratings will be great.
The game be great.
Just
wait till Jimmy finds a rhythm, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Rhythm is going to get you.
Jimmy.
Look at you.
Any guest?
Today, yes, JT O'Sullivan. JT O'Sullivan, who, by the way, not only watched a bunch of film on Trey and Jimmy, he is doing a deep dive on Jalen Hurts today, which I think is super relevant just because of the way we've all talked about the usage of Trey Lance, but also Jalen Hurts. I don't know. Is he low-key now the NFC favorite already? They look the best.
Look good.
They look the best out of any NFC team so far.
And we're going to reach out to a professional lip reader to get exact definition on what was said.
No, we're not.
Are we?
Oh, you had to.
You kind of spoiled the tease.
Let's just go to break. Dibs, that was a four. I love it. Willard dropping the ball here.
I disagree.
Willard and Dibs coming up until high noon before Steiny and Guru. Have a good day, everybody.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.